The bottom of Daf Chaf Amid Beis, the last line. Omar Rami Bar Ovin. Itra, what is Itra, which is disqualified for Ner Shabbos? It's Psalta Dezifta. In other words, they took something called pitch. So they took pitch, and from pitch they extracted tar. So tar is the extract of pitch, and that's called itran. Shava is psalta de duvsha. So duvsha means honey, and from honey they made wax. Now we turn to the daf for today. Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph. L'maynaf Kimina. So on top of Chaf Aleph Amid Aleph, L'maynaf Kimina, Tosus points out here that it was Pshita, that they knew exactly what Shava was, what Itron was, they knew exactly what these were. So why did you have to teach me Rami Bar Ovin? The Gemara says, Nafkimina, Lemekach u'memkar. So for example, if let's say I order pitch and you deliver tar or vice versa, that's not going to be a valid sale. The buyer has the right to say this is not what I ordered. Well, for example, if I order honey and I wanted you to deliver honey, instead you delivered wax, shava, or vice versa, then it's not a valid sale. Tana Rabbana. Now we're going to have a whole slew of brisos, all of which begin with the same opening. Kol Elu Sha'omru Ein Madlikim Ben B'Shabbos. All those materials that were excluded for Hadlaka. For example, if you go back to the Mishnah has Lo Belechesh, Velo Bechosan, Velo Bekolach, which we said was cedar bast, or uncarded flax, or floss of silk, and different kinds of substances. Aval Osim Mehem Midura. But what you're allowed to do is you can make a lodge fire. Bein Lischamim Kenegda. In other words, although these are not candles that could hold one with one wick a flame, but nevertheless, if you want to make an entire madura out of it, which means a big bonfire, and throw in a lot of these different substances, you're allowed to do so for the purpose of warming your body or getting benefit from the light. And the chiddush of the Gemara is that we're not afraid that he will be mechate b'gecholim, as we discussed at great length yesterday, because it's such a large fire that the different parts of the fire feed each other. Bein al gabi karka, bein al gabi kira. And he can make this bonfire inside an oven, or he can put it on the ground, which is normally where you put such a fire. Ner means for Ner Shabbos, Bilvad. They only prohibited using it for Ner, because when you use it for one single candle, and the wick doesn't hold the flame properly, then he might come to do Hatoya Saner, and violate the Iser of Hava'ora. The Mishnah then disqualifies Shemen Kik. In modern Hebrew, Shemen Kik is called castor oil. We'll see that's one of three opinions, but there are two other opinions. My Shemen Kik. What exactly is Shemen Kik? Omar Shmuel. She'il Tinu Lechol Nechote Yam. And Nechote means those who go down to the sea. I asked them, because apparently they're experts in making flames, keeping the lights on. The Omerli, and they told us that Of Echad Yesh B'Krach HaYam. Krach HaYam are those cities that border on the sea, and there's a bird that can be found over there, v'kikshmo, and it's called kik, and apparently they were able to extract an oil from this bird, and they used it as fuel, but it would not qualify for Ner Shabbos because it would not hold the flame properly. Rav Yitzchak Breider, Rav Yehuda Amar, Mishcha de Kaza. And kik is made from cotton. So it's an oil that extracted from cotton, and it's not proper for Ner Shabbos. Reish Lakish Amar, Ki Koyon de Yonah. At the time of Yonah, after the whole Maisa, so that he was in the hot sun, and God miraculously brought some sort of a kikoyon, a plant, that would shade him from the sun. And Omar Rabba Barbachana Ludidi Chazili Kikoyon de Yonah. I myself, Chazili, in my travels, I came across a kikoyon de Yonah. And Vilitzloliva Dummy. And it's similar to a certain plant called Tzloliva. The English translation of Tzlolila is a ricinus plant, which is a plant with large leaves. And this plant has two functions. Number one, because of its large leaves, it gives shade from the sun. And also, you can extract from these leaves an oil which we call castor oil. So according to this third opinion, we're looking for something similar to Kikoyon de Yonah, and that's this plant which we call the castor plant. And that's excluded from their Shabbos. Where do you find this plant? Umidifshike Ravi. Ravi means to be marba, it grows. And what is Difshike? Difshike are marshlands. So it grows in the marshlands. And what do you do with it? Valpum Chanusa. The Chanusa means Chanuyot. The Fum means the entranceway into the stores. Madlon. Madlon means they hang it. Yose. This plant. And apparently, they want people to be attracted to the store, and it has attractive odor, or maybe it gives shade, so during the sun, you know, people want to get a break from the sun, they come to underneath this entrance, like an awning, and then they go into the store. Umiparzi doi avdi mishcha. Now, avdi mishcha, they extract oil. Parzi doi, he translates as kernels. So again, this plant apparently has certain kernels from which you can extract oil, which we said was castor oil. So that's another function of this particular plant called the ricinus plant. Ubanfoi, anfoi means its branches, anafim in Hebrew. Naichin is to rest, milashon menucha, kol briche are ill people, demarava, in Eretz Yisrael. So Eretz Yisrael is a very hot climate for most, half of the year at least, and therefore the sick people need to rest, they need shade from the hot sun, and they use this plant for that purpose. Omar Rabba. Now, what we're about to embark upon is Rabba's explanation as to why they disqualified all these different kinds of wicks. Psilo shomru chachomei madlikim b'Shabbos, the wicks that were disqualified for Shabbos candles, mipnei sheha ur misachseches bohen. Because, I'll translate according to Rashi's first pshat, the flame flickers, it jumps up and down. And if you take a look quickly at Rashi, Misachseches, he says, like he gives an example of the Gemara talks about the same word in the context of using a knife that has different cuts in it, and it's not a proper knife for shechita, it jumps up and down on the basar, which is a psul of shechita. And then Rashi gives lishna achrina mesachseches mem she'enam nichneses toch hapsila el sviv mibachutz. So the word sichecha means it's a flame that licks it around. It wraps around the wick, and it doesn't really burn the wick itself. Shmonim shamru kachamei malik neisha einim shochem achar psila. And the disqualified oils are disqualified because the wick is not able to draw these oils. Maybe these oils are too thick, or maybe they're too thin. They don't have the right consistency, and as a result, the light is going to be very weak. And we're always afraid that he may be tempted to do what's called hatoyas haner, to tilt the light, and therefore it would be a violation of meleches havara. Boy minei abaye mi rabba. Now this is going to be a major machlokas. So Abaye asks Rabba the following question. Shmonim sha'omru chachomein malikim b'Shabbos. These oils that were disqualified, mahu, what would be the law if she'yitein l'sochon shemen kolshu v'yadlik? If he takes oil that is suitable for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos, and he pours some of it, kolshu means a minimal amount, into the shemen that's disqualified. The yadlik, and now he wants to use this concoction, this mixture, for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. And the premise here is that once you add some very good oil, quality oil, then the fact that there's oil that doesn't do the job, that's not going to bother the light. The light will be a perfectly good light, and the wick will be able to draw the oil because there's good, healthy oil in this mixture. But Abai does raise the following problem. Migazrinon, should we institute a gzera, dilma perhaps, osi ladluki be'einayhu. Be'einayhu means be'en in its original form. Maybe someone is going to say, well, last Shabbos we used these oils, we just added a drop of healthy oil. This Shabbos, you know what, we don't even have to bother dropping adding a drop of healthy oil. Oloa, should we not make this gzera? Now, it would seem that Abaye himself was inclined to think that we should not make this gzera. And the reason for that is because even the improper oils is also prohibited because of gzera, that maybe he'll come to tilt the candle. On the other hand, Abai thinks, you know, I have to think twice about this, because forget about the original reason why we disqualified the oils. But once those oils were disqualified, you cannot fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos with those oils. So let's say, for example, a person would light with these improper oils. He not only is he violating a shvus derabanan of Shema Yavir, but moreover, he has forfeited the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. So if that be the case, should we make a gzera because we don't want someone to forfeit the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos if next week he fails to add the kosher oil? Amalei ein madlikin. So Rabbi said to him, in response to his question, said to Abaye, he says, no, we will not accept this small amount of oil. Now, what would Rabbi say if it was 50-50? Maybe he would allow that. Because at some point you might apply the principle of bittul and say that the non-suitable oil is batel. But if you're talking about just adding a couple of drops of kosher oil, that's not acceptable. My timer. Now at this point you expected Abaye to extract from Rabba some sort of reasoning that maybe we should make this gzera. But he got a very flat answer. Rabba says, Lefisha ein madlikin. And I think perhaps what he means by Lefish Ein Madlikin means that forget about the Gzera of Shema Yata. You're right, if it was just a Gzera Shema Yata, then we don't have to add another gzera on top of a gzera and say, well, maybe he'll forget to put the kosher oil in, and then he'll use unkosher oil, and then he'll violate havara. I mean, it's all one gzera on top of the other. But lefishein madlikin means that since those oils were excluded, that's already a din in the oils themselves. The oils were disqualified for use for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. If you use those oils, you forfeit the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. And now we have to make a gzera because we have to guarantee that you'll fulfill the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. And Abai's not a happy camper. And we're going to see over and over again that Abai's going to push in the opposite direction, that maybe we should allow such a concoction, such a mixture, Eisvei. Abai quotes a brisa. The brisa says, Korach dover shemadlikim bo al gabi dover she'ein madlikim bo. We'll see the case is where he has a nut. A nut is something that could be used for a flame, but it's completely possible for Ner Shabbos. But he wraps something around the nut, and that which he wraps around the nut is kosher for Shabbos. It's a wick that is acceptable and suitable for the mitzvah of Ner Shabbos. So here we have, in a sense, a brisa that addresses this whole issue about a combination. And the brisa records a machlokas between the Tanakhama and Rav Shimon Gamliel. Tanakhama says, Ein madlikim bo. We do not accept this combo. Rav Shimon Gamliel says, Shel beis abba, in Rav Gamliel, my father's household, Hayukorchim psila al gabi egos. They would actually wrap a wick that was kosher for the Ner Shabbos around a nut, umadlikim, and that's what they would use for Ner Shabbos. So Abai says to Rabba, k'toni mias madlikim. The Brisa says that we can use it. And the members of Rav Gamliel's family would indeed do such a thing. They wrapped kosher psilos around non-kosher psilos. And the Brisa says that that's what they did in Rav Gamliel's house, and they were madlik. So let's make an analogy, therefore, to the case where you have oil that's invalid, and you add oil that's suitable, and it should be acceptable. Omale, so Rabbi gives the obvious answer to Abai. Adem Moses Lei Mid Rabbi Gan Shimon Gamliel. You're asking me a kasha to refute my position based on Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Is on the other hand, Siainu Mid the Tanakhama. Why don't you bring me a proof, a support text from the Tanakhama? He prohibited this kind of mixture. Holo kasha. Now Abai is going to try to prove that in the context of this brisa, we certainly accept the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, and we reject the Tanakhama. Why? Maisa Rav. Now, this is something we could learn for all of Shas, that whenever you have a machlokes, and one opinion quotes a Maisa Rav, which is called an actual halacha l'maisa scenario, in other words, he testifies about what they did, so that's much more powerful in halacha than just theoretical arguments. You know, you mention an opinion, okay, that's your opinion, but we have a dissenting view. But if you quote a case and the Gedolim actually did such a thing, then we learn from their action. And this has to do with the Mesirus HaTorah, that Mesirus HaTorah is not sitting down with the Shulchan Aruch and plowing over the Shulchan Aruch. That's not how you learn halacha l'maisa. Halacha l'maisa you have to learn from Maisa Rav, which is otherwise known as Shimush Talmidei Chachamim. So it's great to do theoretical learning, and it's great to come to Shiurim, but that's not how you learn halacha. Halacha is too complicated to learn from the books. You got to learn from a Maisa Rav. And after the Gaon passed away, the Vilna Gaon, they wrote up an entire book about Maisa Rav. What exactly were the minhagim of the Vilna Gaon? No, it's not just his theoretical positions, but what he actually did. Mikomakom kasha. So at this point, the Gemara thinks that this price is really a slug up to Rabba, because it seems that from the Maisa Rav of Beis Rav Gamliel, they actually did this wrapping where they took a wick and they wrapped it around the nut, which was improper as a wick, and he was madlik, my lav lahadlik. So now the Gemara, in order to defend Rabbah, is going to reinterpret the story of Rabbah Gamliel. We thought that Rabbah Gamliel wanted to use both the wick and the nut as a wick. It was like a combined effort. Lo, that's not what Rabbah Gamliel did, but rather lahakfos. Lahakfos means that sometimes you have a wick and you're afraid that the wick could sink into the oil and you need something to hold up the wick. Like, for example, if you know what I'm talking about, if not, forget it, but when you buy these pre-prepared candles for Hanukkah, they have this little round piece that holds up the wick to make sure that the wick floats above the surface of the oil. And in this case, the nut was serving not as a combo wick, but rather just simply as a holder, so that when they wrapped the wick around the oil and then they turned it in this direction, around the nut, excuse me, the nut would keep the wick from sinking. So the Gemara says, I don't get it, because Ela Hakfos, my time of the Tanakama, after all, Reb Shimon Gamliel came to argue against the Tanakama, and if he was just simply using the nut as a holder to make sure that the wick would not fall into the oil sink, then why would the Tanakama have questioned such a thing? So now Rabbah comes to reinterpret the entire Braisa from beginning to end. And he says, Kula Raman Shimon Gamliel. This Braisa is not presenting a machlokas at all. The entire Braisa was authored by Rav Shimon Gamliel. But chisurei mechsurei, it's missing a certain piece, v'hachi k'toni. And here's the way we have to rewrite the Braisa. And this is Rabbah's, you know, last-ditch effort to protect his opinion against this Braisa. Korach dovreshe madlikim bo, agabi dovreshein madlikim bo. If he wraps something which is posel as a wick around something which is kosher as a wick, or the other way around, actually. But in any event, he has a wrapping here of something that's kosher with something that's not kosher. Ein madlikim bo. If he uses this combination of two wicks for his Ner Shabbos, one of which is disqualified, then he has not fulfilled his mitzvah. And then Rabbi Shimon Gamliel qualifies that. And he says, "Bamedvar mamurim, when does it disqualify your wick, even your kosher wick? That's lahadlik if you want to use both wicks to light your fire. Avalahakfos, but if, let's say, you would use one wick, which is a non-kosher wick, to hold on to the other wick and keep it floating, muta, that you'd be allowed to do. Shimon Gamliel Omer, shel beis aba you korchim psila gabiegos." And here's where Rav Shimon Gamliel quotes this Maisa Rav, that indeed you're permitted to use a non-kosher wick to serve as a holder to grab onto your kosher wick, but you're lighting from the kosher wick alone. But to light from both wicks is completely excluded. We don't allow for these combos. And now the Gemara is still pushing here for Abaye's view against Rabbah Eini. Is this really so? Are you telling me that if you add, again in the Nimshal, the analogy, if you add a bit of kosher oil into posel oil, then it's excluded from an Er Shabbos? V'ha'omar Rav Bruna Omar Rav. So we have now a statement of Rav Bruna in the name of Rav. Chelev mehutach. Now let's understand that chelev, which is the fats of the animal that can be used as an oil, are disqualified. However, if you take chelev and you cook it, then it creates some sort of a new substance which will actually feed the flame well. And it should be kosher. The only reason why we're going to disqualify chelev mehutach, even though it underwent this process of hituch, and it was melted down to this new substance, is because we're afraid that once we allow chelev mehutach, somebody might use chelev she'ena mehutach. And the same thing is going to apply to kirvei dagim. There are fats that you can extract from inside fish fats. Shenimochu. Nimochu means, again, they take these fats from the fish and they subject them to a certain process. They dissolve them in such a way that they change the substance of the oil, the propensity of the oil, and as a result, the oil can serve as perfectly good fuel. However, we're always afraid that if we allow you to use the Nimochu situation in Kirvei Dovim, you'll come to use Kirvei Dovim even without Nimochu. But Rav said the following, Adam nosin letocho shemen kol shu madlit. Even though these categories that we described are excluded for Ner Shabbos, nevertheless, if you add shemen kolshu, even the most minimal amount of kosher oil, and in this mixture, then it's fine. So we see clearly from Rav that you're allowed to mix two different types of oils, one kosher and one non-kosher, and use them for Ner Shabbos. And this is against Rava. The Gemara answers, no. Hani mimshechei beinayu. These two substances, which is chelev after it underwent the process of melted down, or kirvei dog in the insides of the fish after it underwent the process of nimochu, are really, in and of itself, they would be fine, and they will draw the wick will be able to draw these oils. Hani lon mimshechei beinayu. All the other oils, which I told you cannot use even if you add kosher oil in a mixture, that's because they don't draw the fire well. Now, if you'll ask me, so why don't we use chelev mehutach or kirvei dam shenimochu? V'gazer rabban al chelev mehutach mishum chelev sheino mehutach v'al kirvei dam shenimochu mishum kirvei dam shelonimochu. We instituted a gzera that we're afraid if we use this kind of chelev, you'll use that kind of chelev. If you use this kind of fish oil, you use another type of fish oil. So now the Gemara says, okay, once you've already established that the fats that were melted down are posel, is ligzer nabli chelev mehutach v'kirvei dogim shenimochu shenosan l'tochon shemen mishum chelev mehutach v'kirvei dogim shenimochu shelo nosan l'tochon shemen. How does Rav permit you to mix kosher oil with chelev mehutach? Once you've told me that chelev mehutach is excluded, it's disqualified, then if you add oil, then tomorrow, next Shabbos, you'll use chelev mehutach without oil. So Rabbi responds, and this is like the final punchline of the whole sugya, ha gufa gzera v'anan nekum v'nigzar gzera l'gzera. He asks a rhetorical question. The whole business is a gzera. Meaning, when we ask the question, why is it that chelev mehutach is disqualified? Chelev mehutach is a perfectly suitable oil. But the answer is, we have a gzera, maybe he'll use chelev she'eino mehutach. Now you're going to add another gzera on top of that. You're going to say that even after I add kosher oil, I might come to use it without kosher oil. So what if I use it without kosher oil? In and of itself, it's perfect for their shops. No, but you might come to use a different kind of chelev. Chelev she'eino mehutach. He says that's building one gzera on top of the other. We don't piggyback one gzera on another. Now we go back to, again, our structure of the repetitive structure that we had. Tony Rami Bar Chama, Rabbi Bar Chama brought a brice of psilos and shmanim shamru chachome madlikim behem, ein madlikim behem b'migdash. Now you and I would have said the following, that when we excluded certain oils and wicks because we're afraid he might come to Hatoya, that shouldn't apply in the Beis HaMikdash. We already had a discussion about a certain chamber in the Beis HaMikdash where they kept the fire going to warm up the feet of the Kohanim, and they weren't afraid of Shema Yechata because Kohanim's Rizim him. they're very meticulous, and we don't have to worry that they'll come to violate the Torah of the Shabbos. So why do you prohibit using these wicks and oils in the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara answers that there's another reason why we exclude these wicks and oils, and that is because they're not going to do a good job. So forget about Hatoya. We're not worried about Hatoya in the case of Beis HaMikdash, because Kohanim's Rizamim. But Mishum Shenemar, the Torah says, describing the Beis HaMikdash and Adlaka in the menorah, it says, Lahalos Ner Tamit. That your mitzvah, your chova, is to kindle the light continually. The light should continue to light. And what does that teach me over here? So Rabbi Bar Chama brought this price, so the price sort of left us hanging a little bit. It just quoted a pasuk, but we don't see the import of this pasuk. Hu tani lava hu amar la. He brought it and he interpreted it. What does it mean? Lahalos ner tamit kidei shetiyah shal heves ola meileha. In other words, he understood that the word lahalos is what you call hifil in digduk. Hifil means, lahadlik means to get something to the point where it could be activated on its own. So you have to just trigger off the process and then it goes on its own. That's what lighting is. And kidei shetei shal heves ola meileha means that the flame just keeps ascending on high. Velo shetei ola al yidei davrachin. You don't have to push it along. You don't have to give it support. And in all these wicks and oils which were disqualified, you're going to have to somehow juggle it around, because otherwise the light is not going to last long. Now again, in Ner Shabbos, I don't have to have it last through the night, but in the case of Ner Shemigdash, I need it to last 12 hours. So I'm going to have to do something to keep it going if I use these second-rate oils and wicks. Therefore, they're possible for the mitzvah of Neros. Now we learn a Mishnah in Masechta Sukkah. And the Mishnah says that Bloyim are when you use a garment for too long of a time, it starts you know, disintegrating, so to speak. So they took these Michnasei Kohen, the Michnasayim were one of the eight begadim that the Kohen wore. They were the pants that they wore, and eventually they started getting worn out. They started disintegrating. So what would they do with them? After all, it had a kedushas mitzvah of bigdei kahuna, and the same would apply to mehem yoneim. That's the belts that they wore around the middle of their body, also one of the big day kahuna. That was made of tzemru pishtan, it was made of shatnez. Anyway, hayu mafkiin, they would tear these pieces of cloth up, and they wanted to reuse them for another mitzvah. Umehem adlikin, and they use it for hadlok in the Beis HaMikdash. Now, we know that cloth is not something that lights very well. It certainly is excluded for a Ner Shabbos, and therefore by ipso facto it should be excluded for the mitzvah of Lakan Mikdash. So the Gemara answers, no, you misunderstood. We're not using these bloyim to light the candelabra, but rather we use them as part of the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, right? On every day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, they used to light torches as they drew the water from the Me'ah Shiloh. Shiny, and that's different. We're not talking about a mitzvah d'oraisa, we're just sort of enhancing our simcha, and therefore we're allowed to use these cloths that are made of wool that are certainly disqualified for Ner Shabbos, and therefore for Ner Bad Lokas HaMikdash, but we could use them for the Simchas Beis HaShoeva. Tashma, but I have another brisa, the Tani Rabba Bar Masna. We have a brisa brought by Rabba, and it says, Big Day Kahuna Shebalu, when the Kohen's garments were disintegrated, is Mafkian Osan. They would rip them apart, Umehenahayu Osim Psilos Lemigdash, and they actually made wicks for the mitzvah of Hadlaka Shebimigdash. Now, the truth is that if you remember, flax was the only substance of the extracts of trees that were used and were qualified for wicks. And the begadim of the Kohanim had flax in them. So maybe this itself would allow you to use the Big Day Kohanish Balu for the Hadlok of Migdash because of the flax content, that ingredient. But the Gemara says, my lav de kilayim. Kilayim means that when they took these belts of the Kohanim, which had a mixture of both Pishton and Tzemer, then it would seem that they used even the Tzemer part for Hadlok of Migdash. Now, we're assuming that in the Sugya of Rabbah, we came to the conclusion that if you have a mixture of two different ingredients, one is posel and the other is kosher, then it's posel. You can't mix two together. So here, if you're mixing both tzemer and pishtin, then the tzemer part is going to invalidate this hadlaka. So the Gemara answers, lo debutz. That's not what the Braisa means. The Braisa is not talking about using those garments that had a mixture of wool and linen, but rather we're using only the linen part of the cloth, only a garment or that part of the garment that is linen. And linen, we said, had a permission to use, and it was kosher for a week. Omer Rav Huna, Psil Sushmanim Shamu Chachomim, Ein Madlikim Ben Beshabbos, Ein Madlikim Ben Bechanukah. Wow. We now, Rabosai, have started the Sugya of Chanukah. Bein b'Shabbos u'bein b'chol. Right, Chanukah is made up of Shabbos and Chol, by definition sometimes two Shabbosim. And we have to exclude these wicks and oils for Ner Chanukah. Now, if you're talking about Shabbos, I understand very well, because, you know, we're afraid of Shema Yata, we're not going to allow you to use it on Shabbos of Chanukah. But if you're talking about Chol, then the question is, why is this posel? There's no Gzeira Shema Yata. So you're going to have to add another point, that since it's not going to catch the flame properly, therefore it's excluded. Omar Rava. Rava says, my time with the Rav Huna. This was the statement of Rav Huna. Kasavar kofsa zokikla. Umutal ishtamish li ora. That Rav Huna is based on two premises. Number one, that if the light is extinguished, then you have to rekindle it. So it means the mitzvah is not just hadlaka to get that light going for a split second and then it goes out, but rather to keep it going for a period of time. That's called ner daluk. And in these oils or wicks, we're afraid it's going to go out, and you don't have ner daluk. Rashi adds another point here that we're afraid he wouldn't rekindle it. And now, as far as Shabbos is concerned, it must be that he holds mutal ishtamish liora. So let's say I wanted to read a book, then theoretically I'd be allowed to use the Ner Chanukah. Now, if I use the Ner Chanukah during the week, if I hold mutal ishtamish liora, that's not a problem. But on Shabbos, that's going to be a major problem, because, as we know, the Chachomim instituted a gzeira that he might come to tamper with the oil. Rav Chisda Amar Madlikim Ben Bechol Avalo B'Shabbos. Kasavra Kovsa on the top of Chafal from the base, Ein Zokaglo, Mutul Shtamish Lior. So again, all these wicks and oils will be excluded on Shabbos of Chanukah, because he also agrees that Mutul Shtamish Lior, and therefore we have to worry about Shema Yata. But during the weekdays, he would allow it, because the mitzvah is only to light the Chanukah candle for just a second in time, and afterwards let it go out. No problem. Ein zokuklo. He doesn't have to rekindle it. Omer abzeira, omer av masna. V'yamri lei omer abzeira, omer rav. Psilo sushmanim shomru chachomim ein madlikim bebeshabbos. Madlikim bebechanukah bein bechol ubein beshabbos. Going to Rav Shita, you're allowed to use these oils even during Chanukah, oils of wicks, both during the week and on Shabbos. Omer Rabbi Yirmiyahu, my time with the Rav. What's the logic of Rav? Kasovar kovsa Ein zokek lo. As we said before, Rav Chisda, Rav agrees that all you have to do is light it, you don't have to keep it lit. The asul ishtamish lior, but you're not allowed to use or benefit from the light of the Chanukah. So that's going to be matir, this light, on Shabbos, because he won't tamper with the light. Amru Rabbanan Kami De'abai Mishmei De'Rab Yirmiya, when this statement of Rabbi Yirmiya came in front of Abaye, Velo Kibla, he didn't accept it. Later on, he regrets the fact that he didn't accept it. But Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Amrua Rabbanan Kami Dabai Mishmei de Rabbi Yochanan, now it's quoted in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he was the great in Eretz Yisrael, the Kibla, now he accepted it. Omar, so Abai said, Izakoi, had I merited it, then Gmirte Lishmaite Meikor, I should have accepted this view of Rabbi Yirmiya. When I heard it from Rabbi Yirmiya, I was skeptical, but now I heard it from Rabbi Yochanan, I accept it. I should have accepted it when I heard it way back when, in my youth, from Rabbi Yirmiya. So the Gemara says, well, Gomorrah, but he accepted it now. What difference does it make? Had he accepted it then? Nafkamina Lagirsa Diankus. So because what you study Yankus in your youth is something that sticks with you. So had I accepted it in my youth, it would have stuck with me. So the Gemara now asks the question on both Rav and Rav Chisda. The Kovsa Ein Zakaklof goes out, you don't have to rekindle the Rimini. We have a famous Brisa. This is the most famous Brisa in the Sugi of Chanukah. Mitzvasa Mishetishka Achama Chetichla Regel Menashuk. And the Gemara understands that to mean that the candles have to be lit from point X in time, with sunset, until point Y, until the last person leaves the Shuk. My Lavdi Kovsa. It means that it has to be lit during that entire period of time, near Doluk, and therefore it goes out. You have to rekindle it. So the Gemara says, lo, that's not what it means. But rather, it means the Elo Adlik Madlik. If he hasn't lit at the beginning of the time period, he can light any time within that time period, up until Shkia. Inami, a second interpretation of this brisa, lishiura, means he has to put enough oil into the light in order that it should last for that period of a half hour. So in other words, whether he lights at the beginning of Shkia or when he lights after Tichla Regel Ben Ashuk, he must, in order to set up a Ner Chanuk, he must have enough oil to last for that period of time. Even though, again, you might ask me, it's 1 minute before Shetichla Regel Ben Ashuk, what good is it for the next half hour? No, it's a Shi'ura. Shi'ura means it defines the nature of the oil. And if we had time, we would go through this Tosfos D'lo Adlik Madlik. Very, very important Tosfos. Ad Shetichla Regel Ben Ashuk V'ad Kama. How do I know when is the last person who walks on the streets? Amar Rabba Barachana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Adachalia Rigla de Tarmidoi. There was a group of people, Rashi says they were a nation called Tarmidoi, and they would linger in the streets, in the marketplace, the latest, because they were the sellers of logs for campfires, and there's always someone who realizes, hey, it's nighttime and I don't have enough logs to go through the night to keep my campfire going. He'll go out and he'll find the Tarmidoi there. But when the Tarmidoi pack out, then you know that there's no one left in the marketplace. And they say in the name of Brisker Rav, there was a famous movie theater at his time in Jerusalem. I think it was called Aden. And he said that Ad Shetichla Regel Ben Ashuk, in our time, is when the last movie showing in Aden finishes, because that's when the people used to pile out of the movie theater. Tanu Rabbanu, we learned in the Braisa, Mitzvah Chanukah Ner Ish Ubeiso V'Mahadrin Ner L'Chol Echad V'Echad. Mahadrin is here. We have Machlokas Beisil Beit Shammah. So first of all, as far as the Iker Mitzvah Ner Chanukah, all you need is one light for the entire household, one candle. Mahadrin would add Ner L'Chol Echad V'Echad. Either one person would light Keneged the Mispar B'nei Abayis, or each one would light his own candle. That's a Machlokas. But what's the Mahajim in a Hajim? Beit Shammai Omrim, Rishon Madlik Shmoni starts with 8 on the first night. The Kanveilch Pochis Vaholech, he goes down in number until he finally gets to, on the last day, one candle. Beisil Omrim Yom Rishon Madlik Achas, Mikanveilch Mosiv Holch, he lights one candle the first night, and then it goes up and up and up until on the last night he has 8 candles. Amar Ula, Pligi Batrei Amoroi B'marava. There are 2 Amoroim have Machlokes, exactly what this is about in terms of the reasoning of this Machlokas, and these are Rabbi Yossi bar Rav and Rabbi Yossi bar Zvida. Chad Omar Taima de Beit Shammai. According to one interpretation, the machlokas between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai is that Beit Shammai holds connected Yomim HaNichnasim. In other words, the miracle was greatest on the first day. That already on the first day we have to last for 8 full days. The time of Beis Hillel connected Yomim HaYotzim. Beis Hillel wants to see the progress of the miracle from day to day. But Chad Omar, the other Amora, had a different take on this machlokas. The time of the Beit Shammai connected Poriach Chag. There's some sort of connection between Chanukah and Sukkot. That just like in Sukkot, the Torah says you bring 70 sacrifices, then you go down and down and down in number. So too, the Ner Chanukah start with the highest number the first night, according to Beit Shammai, and go down and down in number. The time of the Beis Hillel, the Milan Bekodesh Bein Moridin. That when it comes to Kedusha, we start with a lower form of sanctity and then we increase the sanctity. There were two scholars up in Lebanon, in a place called Sidon, and one fulfilled the halacha of Beit Shammai. Zeno Saint Tam Lidvarov, the one who followed Beis Shammai, gave an explanation, Kineged Pariach Chag, that it corresponds to the sacrifices on Sukkot that went from the high number to the lower number. Zeno Saint Tam Lidvarov, the one who followed Beis Hillel, said, Mailim Bekodesh V'ein Moridin. So we see that the Gemara seems to assume that we accept the last understanding explanation for the Machlokas Beis Hillel Beit Shammai. Turn around, but we learned in the Braisa. Ner Chanukah Mitzvah Anichal Pesach Beiso Umi Bachutz. If a person is able to light his Ner Chanukah at the entranceway to his house so that it's public and he enhances the Pirsum Anes, the publicity of the miracle, that's what he should do. Light it on the outside. Again, he has to make sure that it'll last, that it shouldn't be extinguished by the wind. But what if he lives on the second floor? Then in such a case, lighting it outside is not going to do anything. There's nobody who's going to see his nair that's up on top. He should find a window that has as maximum exposure to Rishus HaRabim. Again, if it's above 20 Amah, that's a different problem. And when the Persians persecuted the Jews and they wouldn't allow us to light these Chanukah candles, is then Menicha al Shulchano Vidayo. He's allowed to place the Ner Chanukah inside his house on his table. And this is a very big problem, because if he puts it on his table, who's going to know that it's a Ner Chanukah? But the answer is that he gathers together his household, and that's the Pirsum Anes for the people in his house. This is what we call the shamash, that you need a ner, because Rava accepts the opinion that also lishtamish li ora, and that was the opinion that we mentioned the name of Rav. That's why he allowed these wicks and oils for use on Shabbos, because also lishtamish liora, we're not afraid it'll come to do atoya. So Rav accepts that opinion, and that's why we recite Haneris Halol Kodesh Ein Lanu Rishus Lishtamish Bohem. And now, if he has, you know, they didn't have electricity, so if he lights a Ner Chanukah inside his house, well, people are going to think that you're allowed to use the Ner Chanukah, right? Because it illuminates his house. He eats his meal there. So the answer is he adds another candle, which is called the Shamash. V'ika Madura Lo Tzarech. And if there's a large fire somewhere burning in the room, like he turns on the electricity, then he doesn't need a Shamash. V'yonim Choshevu. But if he's a significant person who would not benefit from the light of a torch, is Afagav Dika Madura, even though there's a large campfire, a bonfire, Tzarech Ner Acheres, he needs an extra Ner as a shamash. And it's clear from the poskim that the shamash should be lit first. Why? Because before he starts his bracha, he wants to set up a situation where his hadlaka will be a perfectly valid hadlaka, which means that the ner will be clearly a ner mitzvah, and he's not lighting it for his own personal purposes. So set up that hekera, he wants to light the shamash first. My Rebbe didn't like this business that they shut off the lights before you light Ner Chanukah. Rabbi, turn on all the lights in the house before you light Ner Chanukah. Because what you want to do is you want to prove and demonstrate that this Ner is a Ner mitzvah. It's not for any personal purposes. So the more light you have, the more heker you have that this is a Ner mitzvah. Now, we're about to embark on one of the most famous brises in all of Shas. My Chanukah. What was the reason why Chachamim established the mitzvah of Chanukah? What exactly was the miracle? The Tanur Rabbanon bechavhei bekislev yomei de Chanukah timnaya inun, starting on the 25th of Kislev, on the days of Chanukah. There are 8 days of Chanukah. The lola mispid bon, the lola anis bon. We don't eulogize. We don't fast. Kshenich nesu yivanim laheichal. After the Greeks entered into the heichal. And Timu kol hashmanim shebeichal. And it sounds like they did this deliberately as part of their anti-religious persecution. And they contaminated all the oils. Ukshegavra malchus beis chashmonoim v'nitzchum. Now the house of the chashmonoim defeated the Greeks. But kuvlo matzu, they looked for kosher and pure, uncontaminated oil for the mitzvah of hadlakas ner shevimigdash el palo matzol pach echad shel shemen. They found this one jug of shemen shayamunach bechosamo shel kolin gadol. So it had the stempel of the kolin gadol, and it was such a tight seal that they knew that it wasn't that the Greeks had taken it out and put it back in. They knew it wasn't tampered with. I mean, this has implications for kashrus laws too, and there are long, long discussions here about whether or not a pach is completely non-susceptible to tumah. I mean, again, that's big stuff. Then al piderach hateva, there was enough oil to last for one night. Nasa bones, and the great miracle happened. Liku menu shmonis yomim, and they lit for 8 nights. The Rambam explains because after 8 nights they had already reproduced new oil that was kosher, pure oil. And l'shona acheres, the next year kavum, they decided to enact and establish asom to make these days yomim tovim behalel vehodah. And Rashi says that halel means kriyas ahalel and odah means halanisim. And these were the days of 8 days that were established at that time. Tanan Hossam, we learned in the Mishnah, Getz hayotze mitachas hapatish v'yotze v'hizik. This is the only Mishnah in Shas that mentions Chanukah. Whole discussion about why Chanukah wasn't mentioned. You know, Purim got a whole Masechta. And Chanukah got one mention through the back door in the Mishnayos. There's no Mishnah that mentions Chanukah, except for this one about damages. And what happened was, you have a case where a blacksmith is working with his hammer, or whatever you want to call it, a patish, and a spark flies out and damages somebody's property. It burns up his property. Chayev, that's called the Av Malacha, the Av Mazik of Esh. Gamal Shetan Pishtan. Vehu Over Bershus HaRabim. Now we have an interesting case where somebody is carrying on his on the back of his animal flax. Flax is very flammable. V'nichnasa Pishtano L'tocha Chanus. And as the camel went by, you know, the flax went into the shop, into this store. V'dolka b'neiro shel chanvani. And the storekeeper had a light on, and now the flax went up in smoke. V'dolka sabira, and it burnt the entire mansion down. Is bala gamal chayav. You have to be very careful not to allow your gamal, which is burdened with, laden with flax, to go into someone else's chanus. Oh, now what about the case of Iniach and Vanias Nero Mibachutz? So this owner of a store left a candle on the outside, and then the camel went by, and the flax went up in smoke, and as a result, it burnt up a whole house. Is Chenvani Chayav? He had no right to put his candle outside the house in Rishus HaRabim. That's very dangerous. That's called Eish. Rabbi Yudomer Ben Er Chanukah Patur. In Ner Chanukah he's potter. Why? Because there he was being mekayim the mitzvah. You can't say that he didn't have permission according to halacha to put his ner on the outside. Um, Ravina Zosomeris, we see from this that Ner Chanukah mitzvah anicha besocha sarah, that you have to put it no higher than 10 tefachim off the ground. Disakadaitoch lemalam asara, if he's allowed to place his Ner Chanukah higher than 10 tefachim, is lema le hayil chol aniach lemaila migamal verochva. In other words, why are you shifting the blame and you're exonerating the madlik Ner Chanukah? You should have lit it on a higher place so that it wouldn't be a sakana. So the Gemara answers, that's not a convincing argument. V'dilma, imitricha leituva, asi limnuei mi mitzvah. We can't impose upon him too much here and say he's got to light it so light low down, because then maybe he won't even do the mitzvah. So we allowed him to light it a little bit higher, even though there's a possibility of fire. But we say to the people, we're shifting the responsibility from the balachanus or the balabayis who's lighting his Ner Chanukah over to the people in the public. They have to consider and anticipate that there'll be a Ner Chanukah there, and they have to take the right precautions. So Blineder will stop here with Omer Avka.